It's at Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left with her two sons, without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara." because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
If you like a love story, this is the book for you. If you don't like a love story, this is still the book for you, because there's things we can learn from it, as we can always from God's word. The book of Ruth, only 4 chapters, author not known. Written probably around about 970 years before Jesus. And it's a lovely story. And I'm sure that you've heard it before. But as in all of these things, we tend to forget, don't we? So it's good to come back to Ruth and see how God deals with this family. The family is involved here is Elimelech and Naomi, his wife, 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they live in Bethlehem in Israel. The old name for Bethlehem is Ephrath, and that's why in verse 2 the family is called Ephrathites. And there's a famine where they live. And so Elimelech decides to move to Moab. That would be quite a big decision to make, because Moab was not a place where the Lord Jehovah was God. That was an idolatrous nation, and they worshipped other gods. But obviously Elimelech thought that it was important to go, and so they went. Moab was 50 miles from Bethlehem, and Moab is situated on the southeast of the Dead Sea. I'm told that there's hills south of Bethlehem, and if you climb those hills, you can look right across the Dead Sea and see Moab. If anybody goes there, if you'll check that out for me, so we know that it's right. I'd quite like to go myself, actually. It would be quite nice, that. Moab, you might be thinking, well, Moab doesn't mean too much to me. Where is that? Well, Moab is modern-day Jordan. So that what they would have to do, they would have to walk the 50 miles. They would leave Bethlehem and go south and come down the bottom, around the bottom of the Dead Sea, and then to Moab. Quite a walk. It would take them, depending on what the roads were like, anything from 4 days to 5 days. But they got there, and the Bible tells us that they settled there. Unfortunately, Elimelech dies. And both sons marry Moabite girls. And after 10 years, about 10 years, the Bible tells us that both sons die. His family's not doing very well. This leaves Naomi and her 2 daughter-in-laws in pretty much of a fix, actually. It leaves them in a difficult situation, because they have no men in the household, they have no income, and the future looks bleak. What are they to do? Naomi decides that she needs to return to Bethlehem, because she's had news from Bethlehem that the Lord is providing food for his people there. We read that in verse 7. So God is coming to the aid of his people in Bethlehem in Judah, and Naomi decides that's the best place to go back to. God is helping his people there. But also, she would have relatives there who she can go back to. She would have old friends there who she could go back to. It was a logical decision for her to make. And so she tells her daughter-in-laws that she is going. And they say, well, we'll come with you. It's obvious that they're quite fond of Naomi. And so the two girls and Naomi, they set out for Bethlehem. Naomi, although she's happy to have the girls with her, she's not happy about them. She's unhappy about their future, because she is concerned that if they come to Bethlehem, that they may not find husbands. After all, they are Moabites. They are not Israelites. And so although they set out together, she tries to persuade them to go back to their mother's homes. And she says to them, go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord provide a husband for you each, rather than you come with me. You're young enough. These girls, I guess, would be late 20s. Because in those days, you would have girls marrying in their late teens and so on. But the girls want to go, so they still continue to go with her. But Naomi insists, please go back, my daughters, she says, because the Lord could bless you and you could have husbands. Go back to your mother's homes. Orpah, one of the daughter-in-laws, she decides to go back, to return to her mother's home. But Ruth insists that she is going to stay with Naomi. And we read these famous verses in verses 16 and 17. Ruth says to her, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That's quite a statement. You remember that this girl has been brought up in a land where there are false gods, they're idols, they're not the Lord Almighty. So Ruth, in this verse 17, she actually binds herself with an oath to Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. The only thing, she says, that will separate us will be death itself. But she says something else, which is even more significant. She says, your God will be my God. That's a step forward, isn't it? That's a real step forward in the right direction. Your God will be my God. This is important for Ruth. She was a Moabite. Naomi was an Israelite. I'm sure that over the years, she learned from Naomi and from Elimelech and from the sons who she was married to. I'm sure that she heard about the God of Israel and his goodness and his sovereignty and his authority and that he was Lord of all the earth. I'm sure that she would have heard that. And I'm sure that there was this faith growing in her until she now steps out and says, your God will be my God. And it's quite obvious to Naomi that she can't dissuade Ruth from not coming with her, and so she does. What we find here, that the two women journey on to Bethlehem together. Now, there was a family law which God had ordained. And it meant that family members had an obligation in the family. This is called levirate marriage. And we read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Family members had an obligation to protect others so that none should be lonely or destitute. The family member would be responsible for buying property back which had been sold, or securing the freedom of an enslaved brother, or fathering children on behalf of a dead brother. This was something which God had brought to the Israelites, and it was enshrined in the love of God and following of God. That family member was known as the Goel, G-O-E-L. I probably haven't pronounced it correctly, but it's an easy word anyhow, isn't it? The family member would be called the Goel. In Naomi's situation, this couldn't happen because she had no other sons who could be the family Goel. But even greater than the goodness of that family law, even greater, the Old Testament makes it clear that God became Israel's Goel. The family member who takes responsibility, in Exodus 19, verse 5, the family member here is God, who became Israel's Goel. And in Exodus 19:5, God says to Israel, "You are my treasured possession." You know that because you've read it a number of times. Also in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, God says to Israel, "I will live among you." The word is actually, "I will dwell among you." But we've stopped using dwell now, haven't we? We say live. God says, "I will live among you." God became Israel's Goel. He was responsible for them. He cared for them. Why is that great news for us? Because as believers, we are the New Testament Israel. Followers of Jesus, we are the New Testament Israel. So God is our Goel, who watches over us. And he redeems us, and he protects us, and lives amongst us by his Holy Spirit. God lives among us by his Holy Spirit. We are also his treasured possession. So Naomi and Ruth arrive in Bethlehem and cause quite a stir, according to verse 19. It is obvious from what Naomi says that she wants to be renamed because her faith is not as strong. She also uses the name Almighty for God in verses 20 and 21. So we read in, gosh, that's interesting, I'm in the wrong one. Naomi says when she arrives back in Bethlehem, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Her faith has been affected, obviously, by the difficulties that she's experienced in when she was in Moab. Because using the God's name Almighty, it's not an intimate name for God. And Naomi conveys her estrangement by using this word Almighty. She was aware of her weakness and her need, but the name Almighty conveys the thought of a God who can transform situations. The name Almighty conveys the thought of a God who can transform situations. And you and I know that is true. He is the one who sustains us. He is the one who watches over us. He is the one who loves us and forgives us. And he's the one who only wants the best for us. And so that's the situation that Naomi and Ruth find themselves in. They're back in Bethlehem. And Ruth has been welcomed by friends who are pleased to see her. And no doubt many of them will forget to call her Mara and will call her Naomi. So she might have to get used to that. And so they arrive back in Bethlehem, the Bible tells us, at the beginning of the barley harvest. And that is the month of April.